Hello, my name's Evan Gardner. This is the Where Are Your Keys podcast number 41. In this episode, we're going to talk about the Where Are Your Keys Summer Institute of Play at Madras, Oregon, where for the entire summer of 2011, we worked with the Confederated Tribes of Warm Springs in Oregon, and we worked with the Numu, or Northern Paiute language, with seven high school students from Warm Springs and Madras, and the interns April Charlo, David Edwards, and Sky Hopinga. In this podcast, we're going to get an introduction from all the interns, where they're from, what their interests are, and throughout the summer, we have recorded podcasts that are really going to show a fantastic story. Our frustrations, our successes, and how we dealt with problems and how we created new techniques to deal with different issues that came up during the summer. Every community is unique, every situation is unique, and we really had a wonderful time exploring how developing new techniques to deal with situations could accelerate not only the language acquisition, but community development and community revitalization and community leadership, so that the language has a place to live. Here is April Charlo, David Edwards, and Sky Hopinga with their introduction. So sit back and enjoy.
Hi, my name is April Charlo, and I am a member of the Confederate Salish and Kootenai Tribes, which is located on the Flathead Reservation in northwest Montana. I am a recent graduate of the University of Montana, and I graduated with my Master's in Education Leadership. I would like to take the Wear Your Keys techniques and introduce them to as many communities that need it and are looking for a tool to help revitalize their language.
I'm David Edwards. I'm from Littleton, Colorado. I'm currently an undergrad at Stanford University. I developed an interest in languages a few years back and started working with the Wear Your Keys system last year. I've had a lot of fun with it in China and Mongolia, and now I'm looking at working for revitalization groups and movements in the future.
My name is Sky Hopinga. I'm an enrolled member of the Ho-Chunk Nation, and I'm also Pechanga. I'm currently a student at PSU, Portland State University, and I'm getting my bachelor's degree in English. I hope to use Wear Your Keys in the future with my language and any other language that I can be involved in.
So today, I had a great day. It was a lot, but a great day. So we've got seven kids. Let me set this up a little bit for the audience at home. We're working at the Warm Springs Reservation in Oregon. Madras is about 20 minutes south of Warm Springs. And we got a house here because we couldn't get a house at Warm Springs unless you're a tribal member. And so we got a house here at the next nearest town, which is Madras, Oregon. So friends of mine have a house that they're trying to sell, so we got it for a cheap deal. And so we've set it up so that there are different colored rooms. David is in the green room with green blankets, green sheets, green curtains, green lamp. We can't find the green lamp yet. April is in the red room. And a red laundry basket.
No, he has the green laundry basket. I don't have a laundry basket.
Man.
Because he couldn't find a red one.
Couldn't find a red laundry basket. Sorry about that. Yeah. Still looking. And Sky is in the black room. And so we have color-coded dishes, color-coded knives, bright cookware. Everything is sort of color-coded in very sort of elementary school solid colors around the house. So a good setup for our first Numu conversation that we had tonight over a delicious dinner cooked by April Charlo. And so we had an argument about whether or not we were friends and worthy enough of getting past the Tapatio hot sauce in Numu. So there's sort of the four of us. We've got seven kids from Madras High School and the annex there in Warm Springs, who are basically all high school age kids, 17, 18, and we have been going for a month now. Today basically marks 1 month of official time, and we have fluent speaker, Shirley Tufte. We have Gerald, who is working at the language department in NUMU. And then also we've had Verlene stop in a couple times, and Carla Dean Winneshut stop in a couple times. And Val is the language program coordinator there at Warm Springs. And we've had really a lot of support, and we've gotten a room that we've taken over at the language department building, and have been learning NUMU and training the kids how to do Where Your Keys for the last month.
So, and it's been awesome.
Amazing.
Amazing. Yes. Yes.
So, okay. So today was a big day, and I had a really good day. It was I got to see Extreme Haga, and that was really cool.
It was one of the games that one of our students actually developed all by herself. We had this one of the rides that we'd gotten from our fluent elder, Courtney, just sort of became the expert on it, and she liked it, so she did it all the time. And then last Friday, she got a little bored with it and decided to start putting some twists on it and bells and whistles. And then suddenly it exploded into this huge game that covered the entire room and involved the entire group. And it was a bucket of fun.
And it takes about an hour to play. So she's running the show for an hour. She's the lead teacher. And today when she ran it, she collapsed in the meadow.
Yeah, afterwards she was just done.
Yeah, she slept hard. I'm surprised she didn't snore for an hour. She was gone. She was absolutely clocked out. But she earned it. That one she earned. So yeah, that was really a good one. Probably one of the first real rides like that the students have created. We had that other one, the knife game. Mm-hmm. I really want to hear how that knife, the looking up at the sky knife game came about. So you were telling me the other day that that something happened where the kids just laid down, but you weren't held a knife up in the air.
They were doing that game where you're like, I see a elephant, I see, you know, like a star out of the clouds. Mm-hmm. And then I laid down, and then I was like, you know, just looking at the sky too, and like trying to see things too, like what they were saying. Oh, that we saw a heart, and we were talking about that. And then I can't remember. And then somebody was like, you know, it would be fun to play a game like this. It was probably Courtney. It was probably Courtney, and she was probably like, yeah. And then we grabbed, and I was like, grab knives. We grabbed knives, and then we laid there, and we
did. Somebody say, but do you think it'd be an accelerator?
I did because I was like, because I think me and Skye just had a conversation like the day before about like playing and getting, because you know I get pretty goofy, and he's like, you know, maybe some people can't deal with your goofiness or something. You probably didn't say it like that, but I was like,
that's an excellent setup. Oh, man, setting me up as the asshole. You ask guys so the camera
dies. So freaking wrong. And now the game will forever be awesome. Sorry.
Because I didn't listen to Sky. Thank God.
No, because I was like, God, I don't know if this is a good idea or a bad idea. You know, like, because are we just screwing around and wasting time? And I was like, well, let's test it out, you know? Let's see if this is a language accelerator or a decelerator. And then we started to play, and I was like, this is pretty cool, but then Skye's gonna come back here. Well, I was kind of like, because I was totally playing out, like, what are they gonna think when they all come back and, you know, see us laying here, and they're probably just gonna think we're screwing around, and I wasn't even sure what you were gonna think, actually.
Well, that is what I thought when I got back. I was just like, oh yeah, they were all kind of messing around when I left, they're messing around when I got back, and I didn't realize until later when you guys talked about this great game that you had put together something brilliant.
Were you really worried?
Yeah. I was like, don't tell him. Don't tell him. You told him. Like, and then you're like, let's go outside. And I'm like, oh no, we're really in trouble. He's taking us out back. And then we're going to lay down. He's like, yeah, this is a terrible game. Terrible. And I'll tell you why.
And I gonna have to shoot y'all now.
But yeah, I was actually really surprised.
But that's insane. Like, I'm not gonna discount your fear right off the bat. But I'm often telling people that I don't care if, you know, if we hang from the ceiling by, you know, silk threads and spin around and
I guess I hadn't heard that.
You know, have water balloon fights.
Yeah,
if that turns out to be the thing that accelerates us, then let's, you know, hang from the ceiling, spin around, and have water balloon fights. If it turns out that it works, let's do it.
Hmm. Yeah, because I wasn't sure. Because it wasn't the bucket that, like, I'd seen you set up, you know? Like, it wasn't, you know, just really relaxed. But it was like I didn't have to prod any of them. It's your turn, it's your turn, it's your turn. It was just, and we just did it until it was done. And yeah, I was like, that was pretty cool, but I don't know if I'm telling anybody about it. And we'll just chalk it up as like, wow, I got him to do a ride, and you know, and we just did 20 minutes, and that was that.
And no one will ever get to experience that again. Only us four for these 20 minutes.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, I went on that ride, and just the whole idea of just, we can do this laying on our backs with a couple of knives looking up at the sky. It's just, okay, let's try it out. And really, it was really strange that, well, you know, I just wonder what all is out there that we don't know about.
Yeah.
If you guys or just screwing around, go out and lay down on your backs and hold something up against the blue sky and create this fantastic game that, like, we played for a while, and I did not get at all full. Mm-hmm. I got full as soon as I stood up.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, the weight of the language hit me, and it was like, it kind of made me a little sick almost.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I just learned too much.
New hangover.
Yeah, or like ice cream headache or something. Yeah. And it was just like, we should, like, I kind of felt like laying back down.
Yeah.
And saying, let's do more of this.
And that's exactly how I felt. And that's why I was like, I don't think that was good at all. But when I was laying down, I was like, this is amazing. But then when I got up, I was like, ugh. Like, I felt sick. And I was like, I don't want to play volleyball. I don't even want to go back inside. I don't want to do anything else. You know, like, I'm really glad that you pointed that out, because that's exactly how I felt.
Interesting.
But the kids didn't tell me that they felt like that. Like,
no, but they all. But James totally said that. No, I don't feel full.
Right.
He says I'm going and I don't feel full.
Because, well, could it have been because they just loved it and they didn't want to admit that they stood up and felt sick too?
Maybe. And also, if they didn't feel full when they were laying down, then they didn't feel full when they were laying down. So if laying down on your back means that you can, you know, pack more learning in, then, I mean, honestly, maybe we should think about having school laying on our backs.
Let it be so. I mean, that's part of what struck me about it when I came back and I saw you guys kind of messing around when we left, came back, and I was like, oh, they're just kind of messing around. And then I heard about this thing, and I was like, it seemed like the sort of idea that could have just sprung out of a bunch of kids kind of lying around and not taking things too seriously, and suddenly there was this nugget of brilliance in it. And that's one of the just really cool things about what we're doing, is that we can go and mess around and lie on our backs and suddenly find a really excellent way to learn Nimmu, and that is okay, and we will do it again, and it will continue to work, and we'll keep on doing it as long as it continues to work, even if it looks a little bit crazy from, you know, the window.
But then... Yeah. From what me and Sky were talking about too, though, and this is how we got onto the whole colors conversation. Because that may not work for Sky. That may not work for someone, other, you know, another kid who needs structure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, you know, and this is where, like, the color, the personality colors comes in. And being an orange, you know, like, and Courtney, obviously, an orange, too. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of thing. And we're just like, oh, yeah. And you're an orange in there, too. And so, like, that works perfectly for us. I don't know if that would work for another, you know, like, I don't know.
More experiments will have to be done. and you know, we know we've got something, and it's not something that's like, you know, a lot of times people say things like, well, that wouldn't work for everyone. It's like, well, show me something that works for everyone. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, that wouldn't work for me. Well, but it works for everyone else. So we're going to go with what works most often, under most circumstances, with most people, most of the time. And if that's the thing that works, then that's the thing that works. Now, I don't know what that number is for most. 90%?
Yeah, but would you really want somebody who, like, that doesn't work for them to actually really lay down and try it?
We wouldn't know unless they laid down and actually tried it.
And they're like, I hate this.
Yeah, I mean, when they stand up and are angry, you know, like, then, okay, it didn't work for you. But to have people say, well, that's not going to work for me. Like, if I actually listened to everyone who said this is not going to work for me, there'd be a lot less speakers running around. I mean, because honestly, that's generally how most people come into language stuff is, I'm not good at languages, I can't learn languages, I'm slow, I'm a visual, they walk in with all this emotional baggage that's just like, all right, well, yeah, how is it that you're still alive and haven't killed yourself yet? You know, I mean, you're walking in with all this, like, I can't do it, you know, really? So having that just chance to lay on your back and try something, I think is really important to tell everybody that we, you know, we're not interested in doing quote unquote normal. We're interested in doing things fast. And if fast means water balloon fights, I mean, if it's an accelerator, I'm willing to do the experiment.
And like, if you do have a couple people in the group, that try this game with the line on the back and it just does not work for them and they hate it and it doesn't do for them what it did for everyone else, well, okay, then for them it's a language decelerator. But the cool thing is that that game was invented by a bunch of kids who were learning Numu and they found that this thing worked for them. So, like, the way this whole thing works is you can make your own game. You have these little bite-sized pieces of language. And there are these rides that we have set up. And like you were saying, like, this game of flying on your backs, it looked nothing like the buckets that we had been doing previously. Mm-hmm. There was no table. There was none of, like, that structure. But you were still able to innovate around it and find a different way that worked even better. So there's no reason why, if someone tries something and finds that it doesn't really work for them, that they can't then take that piece and design something that does. Or maybe someone else just looks at it and be like, well, yeah, this didn't really work for you, but maybe we could try this, and it would be different. And then you do that, and it works wonderfully, and that's fine, too.
Yeah, so... So today when Walter was telling me... you know, at first, at the beginning of the day, Walter was like, you know, he didn't want to run that ride at first, and somehow he got stuck running that really basic... what was it like? It was just a three cup game, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. It was the beginning. It was the Ishu Mashu Ushu.
And then, but later on in the day, then he said, "Well, I'm really glad that I went and taught that because now I can see that I need to be teaching to you know better my teaching skills, and those were rides that I needed." And so there's these rides that the kids. That we've gone beyond this really basic rides, but because we haven't started the kids teaching yet, then they're starting to lose those initial rides. So, you know, we now have to kind of loop back around and kind of redo those rides. I don't think that will ever happen again with a language program like this. Like if we did Numu again or just continue with Numu, you know, it was sort of that first. This sort of first time with this language that we kind of have to get everybody kind of going. Normally, I would have everybody who is coming in new learn the first ride. Mm-hmm. But we kind of had to plow through a couple of rides and get a little further on down the track with everybody to kind of see how to go back and fill in the how we're going to teach it. Mm.
To explore the territory first.
Yeah. Yeah, get in a little in country. Yeah, because that, I mean, I think that was really good for Walter, though, at first, because he was like, at first he didn't want to, but then all of a sudden, I think he realized that he didn't really have the game down. And then later on in the afternoon, when he went to teach Becky, she's the local high school teacher who has been coming, and, you know, ran her through the small, medium, large game. You know, he was into it. He was like, yeah, and he's, you know, he's starting to really turn on about what things he's going to hunt and how, what props he's going to use. And what was the thing today that his eyes sort of lit up? Oh, with rock, paper, scissors.
Oh, right.
We played a rock, paper, scissors game. And as soon as we started playing rock, paper, scissors, he kind of looked at me and was like, I need to know rock, paper, scissors. I think it was like, starting to look around for Shirley. Where is she? Yeah. And all the, how many techniques would you say we have up on the board now?
Bunches and bunches.
50? 60?
For sure.
50.
For sure.
And then how many would you say the kids have made? Or that we have developed in this amount of time? Yeah. And we did one today, a technique sportscaster.
Yeah.
So as we're hunting, we're talking about what we're doing to really model.
And that was great. Like, I loved watching you do that. Just to see how you narrate. Because that, I could see it clicking with everybody sitting around way more than any of the times that I hunted while everyone was around. Everybody was much more into it. Everybody was tracking. And yeah, it went, the whole hunt with Shirley there went much better than it has before. So I'm going to have a fun time trying to model that more closely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we made up technique sportscaster. And then also, was that yours that was technique, I'm not a genius, I'm a veteran?
Oh, yeah.
Because there we have that problem a lot where, you know, we're hunting a language and it looks like this magic show. And then people are like, well, you're so smart, I could never do that.
You just must be a natural polyglot.
And that's really annoying because we want everybody to do this and it's not something that's inaccessible to anybody. But they kind of write themselves off. So to be able to say, look, I'm not a genius, I'm a veteran, I think is going to be a really handy tool for people. Well, anything else about today? That's sort of like, you know, we're the 1 month in.
I'm really talking about be here now and total fiscal response.
Mm-hmm. What that about that?
So he does have an announcer voice.
Yeah, how did that help? That talking about TPR and extreme TPR and be here now.
It really tied it together, at least. Seeing the past hunts that they've done, how to improve their setups, how to simplify them, how to get them involved and make it easier for the elder, for Shirley, to see what they're trying to hunt for, and like the better their setup, the less likely she is to kill fairies.
That's been a problem. She's been getting really great at that, though.
Yeah,
like it's getting better. The habits of everybody are starting to change. What?
That's right, you were there yesterday. Yeah. Who did the intro? You did the intro yesterday?
Was it me?
Yeah, I think it was you. Because I think a fairy was killed and you're like, oh, so the rules to this game are the whatever, and then you went off. But then she was getting up, I can't remember what she was gonna kill. But it was like the hunt was over and she did her stood up and she was gonna walk out the door and she said something blah 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 blah. And then she was like, I think she even warned us or something that she was going to say it. And I was like, Shirley! And I went like this because I didn't know what to do. And I just squished my lips together like... And she goes, oh! And then she made the zipping her lips.
Uh-huh.
And then she just walked out the door.
It was hilarious.
Oh, yeah. She was giggling around.
Oh, good. Like it's her little secret now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. She's but I didn't know what to do because I didn't want to be like, don't kill the fairy. But I don't know, because I just play, because, you know, I do little panic moments and then I just do really dumb things. And so, I just squish my lips together.
And then they end up working brilliantly.
Do it. Yeah. But yeah, that was cool.
It was.
So I think she's really starting to understand it more.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there was the one time when we were playing with her and Verlene at the same time, and we were going, and then Verlene killed some fairy. She translated something for us. And then Shirley called her on it, in Numu.
Yeah.
It was really cool that she just, like, you know, said this little thing in Numu, and then Verlaine was like, oh, right, sorry, and then went back into Numu again. And I was just sitting there trying not to, like, you know, do a fist pump or a jump in the air or something crazy. But, yeah, they were getting it. They're getting the game.
Well, anything else about today?
Shirley and the Princess Way.
That's great. Doing an icebreaker with Shirley. That was a really good idea.
Yeah.
Really good idea.
Yeah. She's ready to play.
She is.
She wants just to have a good time and play.
We got so lucky with that.
Yeah.
That was so funny. Mm-hmm.
So April has brought a really wonderful bag of tools to the to this experience. With facilitating group agreements, and really having the kids running the show and really getting them up in front of the class and running the plus deltas and the what would you do differently tomorrow and calendar and having the kids really starting. I mean, it's really been great training for them to, you know, hopefully we'll be able to almost back out by the end of this. You know, really just, they'll just be running it. It's almost like we need somebody now to, because one of us facilitators are the ones who say, okay, who wants to do calendar? Who wants to, like, we're the ones sort of doing that piece of it, but I'm just waiting for one of the kids to start assigning or announcing that the different jobs of the day are open. That's, we're not far from that, though.
Right.
Like, I'm just sort of waiting for one of the kids to jump on it, I guess.
The meta facilitation, facilitating the facilitation.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we haven't made that a job. Mm-mm. Like, the whole, like...
Run the day. Mm-hmm. Run...
Run the schedule, basically, or whatever.
Yeah, what do we even call that?
I have no idea.
The ringmaster.
Yeah. The shot caller.
Okay, well, then I've got a couple questions now.
Okay, here we go.
For the month. I want to go around, do a quick round, and here are a couple questions I'm going to ask. So kind of start thinking about them, okay? What has stood out for you so far this month? How has this month affected you? What changes have you seen in the kids? And what stands out for you the most about this system? Okay, so let's start back at the beginning. What has stood out for you so far?
What's really stood out for me is the level of commitment in the kids in our program and how ready and willing they are to embrace everything we have and everything that we've shown them and to claim some ownership over it. And I think that's really helped with their facilitation skills that they're going to be learning to use to teach the language off once they pull enough from Shirley. The ownership over the rides, over the language, and I think that's an important part of just revitalizing any language, is feeling some kind of connection to it, some kind of involvement to it. And hopefully they start thinking in the language soon. And I can just see that being very possible. Let me get the guy.
I got the clay. I think a lot of what has stood out to me is these facilitation techniques that April has brought in, and really seeing how we're really having to build a community here, which makes sense because, I mean, we talk about all the time that language is a community thing, and it's something that communities, not individuals, do. And so you can't revitalize a language without revitalizing a community because they're both one and the same. So I've been learning a ton about just how you get a group to work together. And it's been giving me all kinds of ideas for other groups that I'm involved with back home and elsewhere. And that has been really cool. One of the other things that's really stood out to me that we all get to joke about a lot is David's culture shock and learning to adapt to culture on the res, and most importantly, learning to be quiet and not talk, which I don't know. I'm sure no one at home can tell is a problem for me. Trying to figure out when to just not say anything. And there are many, many, many occasions when I need to just say nothing at all here. And I'm getting a little bit better at that. Not as good as I need to be yet. April still needs to sock me a few times in the day. But that's okay.
I say shut up 3 to 4.
Right, we have a technique for that now.
Oh, great.
Technique, shut up, David.
It's gone to a hand signal.
Guess which one? But yeah, so that's... wow. And yeah, I'm getting into one of the other questions, so I should probably veer away from that, or I won't have anything to talk about then. But yeah, it's been a good time so far.
Nagatukwe? So I think that's been... probably that's kind of the mirror, that sort of community building. I mean, really, to be honest, when we first got here, there was a lot of, well, there wasn't a lot going on. And there was this kind of, I don't know, feeling of, I don't know, I could feel it, that there was some amount of brokenness in the community. And what's really been happening has been, you know, there's this reason for people to kind of get together. You know, we've been using this analogy of a party boat that we've built. And there's certainly a party going on now. And other people want in. And we've had to turn a lot of people away, and we've had to, you know, tell people, you know, soon we can let more people in. But there are starting to be some people who are kind of crashing the door in, kind of saying, let me in. And that's really been great. You know, and to see different elders in the community kind of, you know, seeing each other again that haven't seen each other in a while. And, you know, and even people kind of reclaiming who they are has been really interesting to watch. I mean, this language is not a prestige language in this community, and it's been really interesting to see who has been kind of becoming Paiute all of a sudden. That you know, that kind of pride has been like really surging, and that has been really wonderful to see. And even in just the picture, we've been taking a picture every day at the end of the day. And I have been able to see through the lens the people's faces changing and really people's posture changing in the picture of the kids. Like it's crazy, but they're sort of standing up straighter in a way. You know, like their heads are holding a little bit higher. So with Doris Lawrence is yelling now.
I mean, she has a really, so crazy.
You know, she has a really soft voice, and now she's, you know, like she's got a you know, she's like finding her voice.
She's got something to say.
Yeah, and that's been really incredible to see.
I guess what stood out for me a lot in this past month is like our group, like the people here. I think it's really rare to, and I've been saying this, like, it's just really rare. And, you know, in like my experience of working in with groups of people in different settings of all kinds of different jobs, to like be able to like work with people who, I don't know what it is, but we just mesh really well. And to be able to, like, work for somebody who says, like, you know, one time, you know, when David, well, we have to go back further than that. Evan, you were doing a talk in front of the kids, and you were asking questions, and then at the end of the, you know, day, we're here at the house, and we're talking about, you know, how the day went. And then David's like, you know, well, Evan, you know, like, I don't know if you were aware of this, but you're asking leading questions. Like, you knew, or you had, it seemed like you had a destination, you were asking leading questions. And then Evan was like, or you, you know, you were like, I was? oh my God, I was. Why didn't you stop me? Because that would have been a great opportunity for the kids to see me called out. And I was like, what? Like, who does that? Like, you know, like, people would have been like, you know, good thing you didn't say anything to me about that in front of the kids, because the kids would have totally lost their respect in me. And then this whole program would have just went to hell, you know? And, but to like hear you say that, and that's just, you know, the one example, but then also to be like so receptive to, you know, like all of our experiences and what we can bring to the table. And for me, like, I was like, well, you know, when you were talking to me about like, let's set up this hierarchy thing of who's in charge of disciplining. And the, and that like made my little antennas go, mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't want this to be a disciplinary thing. Like, there's a way we can set this up. You know, like, I've gained some knowledge on how, like, we shouldn't have to do something like that. Like, where, you know, I'm going to be the first chain of who they go to, and it shouldn't go past me when they get in trouble and stuff. And, you know, and you were like totally receptive to me trying out these tools and experimenting with these kids. And so far, like, this idea of chain of command thing, it's just, it's not going to be necessary.
Not at all.
Yeah. And, you know, this idea of let's build a community within this, you know, and for like when Val came in and I don't know, it just came out and I wanted, and I felt really good about saying that in front of the kids when Val came in and she said, oh, I have this intern and I want her to work with you guys. I'm going to bring her up and introduce you to her, you know, introduce you to her right now. And I was like, well, kind of hold on a second, because we just made a decision as a group, you know, that we're a family and that no one person is in charge to make all the decisions. Like, we make a decision as a group, as a family. And it was to see her be okay with that. Because I was kind of nervous about saying it, but I was like, this needs to be said. And the kids,
I was nervous about you saying it. I was like, oh my God.
Well, because you were going to be like, send her right up.
I was going to do the whole not say anything, Val's in charge, let her do whatever she says, because that tends to get me in the least amount of trouble.
Right, and I was going to kind of just, I was thinking just deflect it, you know, like, oh, we're just going to wait till Evan gets here. But I was like, no, hold on a second, you know, like, no, we decided as a group that nobody's coming in here until this time, or we need to talk about it. And so I think, for me, that's one of the biggest things that stood out is our, and then also like our ability to work through things. And, you know, we've had a minute, you know, when you were gone, where we were just, we got to the storming stage of like what the fellowship calls it, you know, like when we're the forming, and we're like, when we all first got here and it was all honeymoon, like, oh, this is so great. You know, David's funny, Sky's funny, you know, Evan's funny. You know, and everyone's just great, and we're all getting along, and we're eating dinner, and we're
cooking
together.
April's not funny, though.
I'm not funny at all. And I make Sky really mad all the time. Like, he's great. But then we, you know, like, after that honeymoon stage, it seemed like we hit, like, what they call a storming stage. You know, where we were starting to kind of, like, butt heads on, like, what we should do. You know, like, on decisions. But to be able to get past that, and we're still, like, all friends, and we can still talk through things and do orids on the drive home every day. Like, I've never worked with a group of people like this. And for me, that's what stood out because of what we're trying to do. I think we're setting the model of how people should work together for those kids. Rather than seeing, like, four people struggling for, like, you know, like, the Sky calls it, you know, too many cooks in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And rather, like, we're all, like, what can be the best recipe or what can be the best ingredient to make this really work? And so, for me, that's, you know, I just keep getting, like, I'm just like, how did this happen? Like, how do we all get here? Because it's really working.
Well, and like what you said before about, you know, let's go into some communities,
right.
And let's blow this up. Yeah. You know, I mean, yeah, that's
seriously.
Yeah, that's absolutely possible. So, And there's really no reason why not. There's, you know, nothing stopping me. Okay, next question. How has this month affected you?
Well, like I said on the last one, I'm having to learn a new way of behavior. I joke that right before I came to this program, I was studying in China, and then for a brief little bit, I was teaching in Mongolia. And that was actually my first international experience, the first time really, except for a hunting trip, a camping trip in Canada that doesn't really count. That was the first time I'd been out of the country, and then I came back here, and when I landed in Portland and drove to Warm Springs, I had more culture shock, really, than when I had been in China and in Mongolia, and that kind of surprised me. There's, you know, Evans mentioned that there's a number of reasons that could be, like, I didn't expect to experience culture shock walking around Oregon, and so that, you know, it was a little bit more poignant, and I wasn't really prepared for it at all. I spent a lot of time preparing for what China was going to be like before I went, but not really for what Warm Springs would be. And so there's been just a lot of things that I need to learn, like when to not say anything and how to stand when I'm talking to people, how to turn and look at other people when talking to other people, like all of these things, all of these tiny, tiny little things that I've had to learn. And the other thing that's actually been a little bit disorienting that I don't really understand is that before I came here, I was pretty good at reading emotions and reading people and knowing what people were feeling at different times, and that just has not worked anymore. I don't know, it's like I ate some bad spinach or something, and suddenly I've completely lost that ability. And bad spinach. Yeah. Bad spinach. I don't know if it's... Because I don't feel like people here have completely alien ways of expressing emotions. Like, sometimes they're different, for sure. But I don't know. I don't know what it's about. Maybe China. Maybe China was the bad spinach, and that's what went on. But that has been interesting. I've suddenly been having to rely on other people to alert me to emotional issues in others. When, like, back home, I tended to be that person more often than not. And here, it's kind of like there are all these problems going on, and April and Sky are both talking about, yeah, something was going on with so-and-so, and we aren't sure, we need to keep an eye out for that. And I was just like, when did this happen, and what was I doing? And they said, oh, you were standing in the corner looking lost. That happens a lot. Yeah. That's the next thing I need to work on, is how to stand still. I'm really bad at that. But yeah, I've been learning all kinds of things this month, and only some of them involve language hunting and teaching and such. So that has been a really interesting experience. This whole year has just been like China, Mongolia, Indian Reservation, and then I'm going to go back home and be like, where am I? What's going on? I was joking with April that I went over to this coffee shop in Madras that has internet access to check my mail or some such. It was a Saturday morning. I was sitting in there, and it was this, you know, kind of Starbucksy coffee shop. They've got expensive health foods and things all around, and scones and whatnot. Scones, they call them in England. I learned that recently. But it was full of these, like, older white people that Saturday morning. And I was just sitting there in this room full of white people, and I felt out of place. That kind of freaked me out, because I don't usually feel out of place when I'm in a room full of white people. But it's just been a really long time since I was in a room full of white people. And it felt weird. I didn't really understand why it felt weird, but I'm interested to see, once I do go back home and I'm around all the people that I was with, or that I just am with at school and such, what I will be like, because I'm not going to be like I was before I left for all of this. I can't really say yet how all of this has affected me. I suspect I'll get a glimpse of it once I go back and people are like, David, what did you do? Who are you? Where did David go? But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Yeah. It's going to be exciting. Umitakwe.
Well, this is the first time that I have... This is the first time that I have set something like this up in with this kind of magnitude, in for this kind of time, you know, renting a house, furnishing a house, having different people coming in from all these different places. And it's really kind of restored a little bit of my faith in humanity, that this is possible. And really, I'm interested in you know, always bigger and better next time. We're going to need a bigger house. Mm. We're going to need a bigger room. Mm. And, you know, next year, we're going to need 10 interns. So interns, if you're out there, prick up your ears. College credits available. And, you know, that's been really incredible to have. To have this kind of support for this has really been wonderful. And I figured that it was possible, but I've never had to prove it. I've never had to, you know, really, really go all out. And so that's how it's really affected me in a way now of knowing that, we could go bigger. There's no reason not to have 10 interns and 40 kids. There isn't. I mean, if we did that, I would certainly hope that some of you would come back. But that kind of thing is really possible. And then I start thinking about what is possible if we had 10 interns and 40 students. I mean, we could really get a language rocking in a very short amount of time. And, you know, I've always known that it's possible. And now I'm absolutely sure of it. Yeah, that's how this month has really affected me. Nagatakwai, umitakwai.
Nagatakwai. So, when this whole thing started and I was, you know, driving up here from Chico, California, and I was supposed to be spending, like, you know, a month in California, and then I was going to fly from California to Oklahoma and spend a month there because I was, you know, taking the summer off. And I was driving up here and I was like, you know, like, kind of wondering what was going to happen this summer, if I made the right choice of coming here, and, you know, what was it going to be like, you know, and even like the first night sleeping here, you know, and I texted somebody and I'm like, I'm in a house in Madras, Oregon. I don't really know where that's at, you know, and sleeping in the same house with two men I've only met once for 2 hours. And I really hope I can text you back in the morning. Let you know that I'm okay. Because so far this looks legit, because there's, you know, I'm in the red room and, you know, the pictures match the, you know, the room, and the address matched the address. But I don't know, I was really excited. You know, I was really on top of it all. I was really, really excited. I know, there was just something about it, you know, like when I met Sky and Evan in Portland, and that first interaction that I seen when Evan walked in the door with his stick, with, you know, with his stick and waving it around or something, and Sky, and they'd started their, you know, their conversation, you know, in the language, and I was just like, wow, you know, there's like blah 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 blah. Oh, blah 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 blah. And I'm like, you know, and then Evan's like,
that's offensive, by the way.
Evan, like, can't do it. And then all of a sudden you're like, okay, well then I'll just leave, or whatever you said. I don't know. And then I looked at Sky and I'm like, wait, now And I'm like, how long did you say you've been learning? And he's like, oh, since what? What did you say, February or something? Since February. And I was like, what? And I'm like, well, how many hours a day? And he was like, oh, just do it every Friday for, you know, the couple hours. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. And you're there, you know, like you. And I knew immediately, like, I knew it was whatever Evan had been doing with Sky, like, it was amazing.
He's a witch!
He's a witch!
I'm a veteran.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, that first experience of just going, you know, visiting them that afternoon, like, and then being asked, invited to come here, you know, like, I was pretty excited about it, and this is, like, the first time probably in my life where I am waking up consistently at 6:30 and not dragging myself out of bed, being like, oh, you know, another day, another dollar, because I'm not getting another dollar.
There's that.
You're getting yourself out of bed for free.
Exactly.
Every morning.
And, you know, and I think I said that to Sky, like, when on the first week or the second week, like, when we were driving to work, I'm like, this is the first time where I'm really excited to be going into work. And that hasn't changed. I have not woken up once in the past 4 weeks or 5 weeks and gone and dreaded going because of, you know, anything. You know, like, and we've had some tough things happen at work, you know, and to deal with them. And, you know, where it should have made me drag my feet a little bit, but it didn't. I was just like, no, I'm doing this. And I'm going to go figure out how to fix this and or how to get through this with the kids, you know, and with my team. And so I think that's, you know, how it's changed me. It's again, like, given me, like, this can happen. Like, we can save languages and we can change communities. And it's exciting and it's rewarding and it's energizing. You know, like, my God, I've been up since 6:30. What time is it? You know, and we're still going.
It's like 10 probably now.
Yeah. And it's unheard of for me. You know, like, I get really worn out and, you know, we just don't stop. And I tell people that and they're like, you're going to get burnt out. I'm like, no, this is amazing. Like, this is probably for sure for me a top 5 experience of my life at this point of time in my life.
And you're like...
And Sky, my age, I don't know, it's not a big deal. Hello, Sky.
It's just been a really, really interesting experience meeting everyone here, meeting David and April, and just really being able to watch what they bring and how they interact with everyone else and with the kids and at the house. And I think, feel like I've been able to learn a lot from all of them and Evan, as I have for the past 6 months now, I think. And so there's a lot that I can take back to wherever it is going to go next, or to Portland.
All right, what changes have you seen in the kids? Mm-hmm. And what stands out for you the most about this system? And now, just to say it,
the changes that I've seen kids really, like I mentioned before, is just an ownership of this language and an ownership of this culture, and I think that's really positive in the initiative they're taking in hunting and engaging Shirley, and just the more than that, just kind of language workplace level. But just kind of embracing her as the grandma, embracing the rest of us as a family, and it just extends beyond the work hours. You know, just the time we clock in, the time to clock out, it just blurs. You know, it's like we're never really on the clock, but we're always doing something. We're always trying to move forward together, and that cohesiveness is just—it's really grown. It's snowballed that I can't even really recognize. The first day we were here, and how we all were, and how we all interacted together, and that snowball happened pretty quick. But just to see from how it was in the beginning to this point is really impressive. It's really encouraging.
Yeah, I mean, it has been really interesting. I've been relying up a lot on on other folks to kind of read the emotional situation, but some things are really apparent. Like seeing James really kind of take up leadership of a lot of things. He's not like figureheading the whole program, because none of them really are, but James, in just a lot of ways, like just that small thing of how a few, how far in was it? I can't remember, but he showed up in this like nice colored shirt, like for no real apparent reason. He was just kind of looking really sharp that one day. And the way he was acting just kind of took on this air if he realized that we were doing something really cool, and he thought there was something really valuable in it, and he's really come into that, just being the one to call out, like, hey, we need to think of the other people in the building, we need to think of this, we need to be aware of how we're interacting with the elders, and he's just a really responsible kid. He's like a phenomenally responsible kid. And I don't know if he was really aware that he was a really responsible kid until all this happened. And like with Walter, seeing him kind of grow, and he picked up what we were doing, in terms of how to do it, the whole hunting language thing. He picked it up pretty quick. And he started to be, you know, one of the go-to guys. Like, he had the colors really down. I didn't have all of the colors, and so people were always going to Walter to double check what colors were. And even was it yesterday? Was it today? Courtney, when we were going to, in her extreme Haga game, we were going down the line naming
extreme
objects.
Haga!
Yeah. But anytime there was a color, anytime we got to something colored and we said the name, she's like, okay, now just Walter. And then she would, you know, lean in and listen to how he pronounced it. And then she would, you know, have everybody do it again to match Walter.
It was the animals.
Yeah, and animals too. Same thing.
So she's recognizing him as the memory of that, that pronunciation.
Not for everything, but just for certain things.
Well, she had me, she had David, she had all the options, and she just said, and it was just like, all of a sudden, she was like, only Walter. And we're like,
okay. Yes, ma'am.
And then Walter said the word, and then she's like, not Ian.
All y'all, let's go.
And she had that really big stick.
I mean, Harry Potter wand.
That was great.
Yeah.
But, and I think today, like, the past few days, I wasn't really sure what was going on with Walter. He seemed to kind of wane a little bit. And then today, he seemed to be waning a lot. But maybe it was that. Or that may have been part of it. And then also working with Becky Dutney with the small, medium, large game. And he just kind of suddenly came back. And it was just kind of rolling off him by the end of the day when we were doing the plus delta evaluations of how the day went. He was just kind of, I don't know. He was this whole thing of the Walter that had been growing and then kind of went away, was suddenly back in full force. And he was all like, I can do this. I could actually teach people. Like, I could do that. And I'm good at it. And there's something else there too, of like a responsibility there that I'm just kind of catching little bits of in things that he says. But I don't remember seeing much of that, maybe a little bit. But really he was always stressing, like, yeah, I just always try to go with the flow. I always try to operate with a rule of neutrality. Mm-hmm. And, he's starting to see that, like, he doesn't always need to go with the flow, because sometimes he knows where the flow needs to go and he can be the one to make it go there. So that's been really cool to see.
I got to play.
I made to play.
Yeah. Star that!
Star that! Yeah.
But that's really... Yeah, by the end of the day, he kind of got bigger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's... That's that. You know, he didn't really want to lead that hunt this morning.
No.
With the you asked him to do.
Right.
And then you know, by the end of the day, he was ready to set me up. Mm-hmm. So he basically ran three hunts today, or three push-offs. He taught the morning Ishimashu Ushu game, and then where he pulled other people through, it was like modeling for Courtney and and that kind of thing. And and then, you know, while Courtney was doing her game, and then he pulled Becky Dudney to the side and taught her a game.
Right.
And then he was looking up on the board and trying to figure out which games that he knew and which games he didn't. Mm-hmm. And then he set up the next game for me, the won't have give take stuff. And then he didn't know how to set them up. And so I said, okay, when we get back from break, then find somebody who knows how to set it up and have it set up for me.
Right.
And so, you know, as we're coming back from break, he came to David. Hey, David, are you doing a game right now? No, I'm free. Oh, well, can you come and help me figure out how to set up this next thing that I'm going to take Evan on? And so, I mean, he just beautifully, you know, went, set it up, and then we ran it, and then we were able to tweak the ride a little bit so that it made a lot more sense. And we probably shaved off a couple hours worth of that game.
For sure.
Really quickly. So, and that just wouldn't have happened today if that. And then, so by the end of the day, he was like, yeah, I didn't really want to teach because I thought it was hard and I didn't think I was good at it. But it's not hard. Hmm. He's like, I see now, it's not hard. It's pretty easy. Hmm. It's like, yeah, it's actually easier than hunting. You know, just, yeah, push it back off. So, I mean, 1 month. We've made a teacher. You know, he doesn't know it all, but he's certainly capable of teaching what, maybe 10 rides? 10 lessons?
Mm-hmm.
And these aren't like word vocabulary list lessons. Right. These are like conversation lessons.
Right.
And then watching Courtney own that extreme hog.
Oh, yeah.
That's hers. I mean, she's got the whipmaster stick and she's pointing to people, you come here, it's your turn. And then her making up that game. Just making it up is really kind of, wow, where did you come up with this one?
Right.
So, yeah, and then watching the kids being really willing to be wingmen. So just anytime we need something now, you know, we're not sending the kids alone to go talk to different people. We're sending them in groups. And so they don't even blink an eye. They're like, I need a wingman. And then somebody's like, I'll go. And, you know, and they know that they're going to go do something, like go talk to Shirley or go talk to Val or go talk to Faye or go talk to some person in the community that, I mean, this isn't like, you know, going and talking to your brother and sister. This is going and talking to people who, you know, are respected members of the community that we either need something from or information to, or, you know, so having that ability to like grab that wingman and go. David Edwards.
That's one of the things, I guess I'm jumping a little bit, jumping ahead, that's really caught me, stood out to me in what we're doing, that like usually the facilitators are working behind the scenes and talking to the administration, talking to the leadership of the department and such, talking to the director like Val and whatever, or talking to the teachers like Shirley, like going to get Shirley and bringing her up. But we're really not doing that. When we do that, one of the kids is always with us watching, or not even just watching, but actually having the conversation and doing these things. Like Sky, you and Courtney went down to clarify with Val some things about there was rumors of some change in like when our fluent elder and our other fluent speakers were gonna need to be in the room with us, we weren't really sure what was going on. And then Courtney, it was not Sky, it was not any of us, but Courtney was like, why don't we go and talk to Val? And we were like, that's a great idea, why don't you do that? She was like, I need a wingman. And then I think did she ask you?
Sky?
Yeah, Courtney was just like, Sky, come on.
Or did you volunteer?
Mm-hmm. I think she picked Sky. And then they went down and they checked with Val and then they came back up. And it was just like, the things like that happened at my high school, but only with a very select group of kids that were like, you know, those kids, mm-hmm. the kids who were just kind of, you know, the leaders who were running everything. But I don't feel like we really have that. Like, the group that we have is not primed to be. We have kind of a random sample of just kids who got employed with us, and they aren't just, you know, those kids who are always doing this kind of thing. They're just finding that there is this need, and we're not going to just fill it. We need them to be doing this. And I think a lot of it is that Evan, you really modeled, like, you are the experts on this community. I don't really know how everything works in this community, what all the protocols are. So I need you guys to tell me, and I need you guys to pull me through this. And suddenly they realized, like, whoa, he's not kidding about this whole student teacher and everybody teaching together thing. Like, even this stuff, even this facilitation stuff, we are doing, and we are even teaching the leader people. So that whole relationship and how they're now kind of owning that. And like you said, just like, I need a wingman to go and do this very important thing, like talking to Val about what's going to happen with our program. Oh, I'll go and do that with you. Like, that's kind of crazy. But it's happened in a month.
What have I seen changes? The changes I've seen in the kids?
Yeah.
I think it's been huge, you know, like from that first day when we seen all those kids, you know, sitting there unsure of us, unsure of each other, unsure of themselves. Like, wow, you know, to have gone. And we had James, super quiet kid. Doris, super quiet kid. John, super quiet kid. Kids who seem to have gotten used to or comfortable or pushed to, like, the back. The ones that who just blend in with the crowd. To, like, now where, you know, to hear, you know, we're sitting there, I don't know, a couple weeks in. It was when Courtney first started. And so it was the second week. And James had been with us the whole first week, and we're sitting in the meadow, and, you know, Courtney was being Courtney, and she was talking, and she's like, yeah, it's crazy, James, you never talked all year, I don't ever remember you talking, and here you are, you're talking now, and it's crazy, you know, and we're just, you know, we're laughing, and he was kind of laughing too, and it wasn't that he, you know, like, because he was doing things, like, when I was asking for volunteers to read the schedule, to read the group agreements, to, and he was volunteering for certain things. I mean, you know, like, I don't know. And he's been saying that, like, he just decided to make a change. I don't know if it was, like, the perfect setup for him, where he either decided at some point right before coming into this program that he was going to start talking more, and then, bam, he walked into this situation. And we set him up perfectly to, you know, allow him to foster that and to feel safe, safe place for him to do that. You know, and same thing for, like, Doris Lawrence, who, you know, and I think we've worked on her to get her to this point, you know, to establish a safe place for her to just go ahead and try out some different things, you know, like, go ahead and yell at Evan, you know, to get, you know, it's your turn, Evan! God, that was, like, classic. You know, this, you know, to have her, like, yell and her voice kind of crack midway and her spin around to me and go, I have never talked that loud, I think, in my whole life. You know, I was like, that was amazing.
And I was, like, 10 feet away.
Yeah, she did not have to yell that.
Yeah.
And then today, for her to, like, do a little hop into the four square thing and look at Walter and go, you're going down! You know, like, wow.
And it was even more like, you're going down! It wasn't like Doris Lawrence as usual.
yeah, you know, and but the confidence levels I've seen have just, you know, risen. You know, because, like, when we started the first, you know, the first group agreement, and, you know, and they're like, oh, what, you're asking us to come up with group agreements? I don't understand what's going on. Oh, well, group agreements then. And they started to, like, regurgitate like classroom rules, traditional work rules, you know, show up on time. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, shouldn't there be consequences if we don't show up on time? And I'm like, well, that's kind of not how group agreements work. We're just kind of like, how should we treat each other? How should we, you know, like that kind of thing. But to, you know, to have them go from realizing that, oh, this isn't a traditional workplace. This isn't a traditional classroom where one person is in, you know, one person is in charge, but we're like a group making decisions as a group, and to see their, you know, to get comfortable with that at their age and to understand that they have a voice and we're going to respect that voice and we are asking to hear it. They're offering it more. And so, I think that's probably the biggest changes that I've seen with them. And they're amazing. God, these kids, like every day, there's always one, 10, you know, there's just so many things throughout the day that I'm just like, really? Like, the combination of this group, this team, and the kids, it's like the perfect storm. We're going to blow some...
some minds. I couldn't leave it on that.
I'll get my C4.
Well, there you have it. Thank you very much for listening. This is Evan Gardner with another episode of the Where Your Keys podcast from the Summer Institute of Play in Madras, Oregon. We hope you've enjoyed this episode, and stay tuned for the rest of the story on language revitalization, community revitalization, and the saga of Warm Springs 2011.